If you have your Bible, can I invite you, just for the time that we have, to turn to this little text that we read from Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Let us not become weary in doing good or well being, for in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I'll start with this amusing little story. The preacher concerned, I'm sure it wasn't in the Kingdom of Mourne, probably up in County Antrim or somewhere. The preacher concerned was renowned for the length of his sermons. And a visitor arrived one day a little bit late for the service and slipped into the back seat. After a while, he became somewhat weary and turned to the man beside him and whispered, "How long has he been preaching here?" "About 5 years," whispered the other man, to which the first man said, "Well, I'll wait then, he should nearly be finished." He had become weary. He had become weary in listening. And hopefully you will not become too weary this evening. It has been a long day. It has been a busy day, not least for the ladies. But this evening, as I've said, I do want, we haven't just got back into a particular series in the evenings, but let us not grow weary in doing good. The late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote many good books. One of the books that he wrote was called Spiritual Depression. Some of you may know of that book. And it contains a chapter on this matter, which I'm happy to say has struck a few chords and sparked a few thoughts in my own thinking. So basically this evening I want to just speak a wee bit into this subject, the problem of weariness, and say something first of all about the nature of weariness. Now this point that I'm going to make may be very obvious, but let me say it. People can just become weary and tired. We are all very human. And as human people, we get tired. So we think, for example, maybe a person who, within the context of the church, maybe they've been leading in the same church organization for many years, and they're just a bit tired. Or maybe it's a church that's still trying to maintain all the same level of organizations, but actually with a decreasing pull of people to lead those organizations. And eventually, it takes its toll. People get tired. Lloyd-Jones said in that book that I've referred to, and I quote, "They are moving in the right direction, but the trouble is they're shuffling along with drooping heads and hands, and the whole spectacle and picture they present is the very antithesis of what the Christian is meant to be in this life and in this world." So people get weary. Some have seen this general issue of weariness as a problem of middle life, or if you like, maybe even middle age. And it certainly is true that the spiritual life, after the initial experience of coming to Christ and the newness and the wonder of it all, sometimes what can happen in some situations is that the thrill, if you like, fades. We become familiar with things and there's a kind of a plateauing. And there's no real advance or development from that point. And bear this in mind, that if that happens, and it just happens to be compounded in a person's life at that particular stage, maybe with troubles or with difficulties, maybe caused by other circumstances, maybe circumstances at home or at college or at work or even, dare I say, in the church, then that person can find themselves in a place of real spiritual doldrums. You know that picture, a ship or a boat of a bygone age when they depended on the wind, stuck in the doldrums, sitting there, no wind, stuck, going nowhere. And that can be a picture in the Christian experience. So a picture not so much of somebody tired of the work, but just tired in the work. And some of these Galatian Christians were at that point, it would seem. And the Apostle Paul says to them, look, do not become weary in doing what you're doing. Keep pressing on, because there's going to be a harvest. And the worst thing that you could possibly do at this point is to stop. So the nature of weariness. Let me say a wee word about the danger in weariness. Well, let me mention a couple of dangers. So, first of all, there is the danger of someone giving up. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean giving up the faith. I mean just giving up the spiritual work that they're doing. Sort of saying, look, I'm just weary of this. I'm tired. And they step out of what it is they're doing. So they haven't walked away from the Lord, but they've just got tired. And there's the danger that someone would just give up doing what they're doing. Another danger, it seems to me, is the danger of keeping going, but in a kind of hopeless way. So here's this person, the picture of this person is a person who isn't prepared to throw in the towel. And in a very admirable way, they keep pressing on, maybe out of duty, maybe out of loyalty, but the whole thing's hopeless. They've lost their joy. They're just shuffling along the road, if you like, with the head down. But there's no real joy, no vigor, no enthusiasm. And it's all, if truth be told, a bit miserable. And that's a great danger. And it's interesting, actually, and I've mentioned Lloyd-Jones. Lloyd-Jones spoke about this as one of the greatest dangers confronting the church in any age. That even a church can, in a sense, keep going, keep doing, but they're just shuffling along the road. And they've lost all sense of the wonder of it all. And they're just kind of going on out of sheer duty. But the joy has gone. And that is a great, great danger. I wonder tonight, is that a picture of some here? That we're in danger of just saying, look, I give up. I'm not going to give up my Lord, but count me out. I'm just a bit tired. I'm weary of this. Oh no, I'll not be like that. I'll keep pressing on, but the joy has gone. Well, that's not a good place to be. The cause of weariness. Sometimes, I don't know what you think about this, sometimes within Christian circles, some Christian circles, we're very good at putting on a bit of a facade. So the old cliched comment, how are you? Well, I'm fine. But actually, I'm not really fine, but I'm certainly not going to tell her. I'm certainly not going to tell him. And we're not always honest with each other. And I think the church should be a place where we can actually be honest with each other. Where we can say, you know what, I'm actually a bit tired. I'm struggling. Please pray for me. Please don't talk about me. Please don't repeat this, but please pray for me. I wonder tonight, are you feeling a little bit tired and weary? If you are, I would say to you, as your minister and as your pastor, I would say, one of the things I would say to you is this: examine your heart. The Bible talks in a number of places about the need for self-examination. For example, 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourself. Now, I know that's obvious, but it doesn't always happen. What was it the man said, that common sense is a great thing, but it's not always that common? And, you know, sometimes in life, the obvious thing to do is not always the obvious thing that we do. So, are you tired tonight? You don't have to put up your hand. Are you feeling tired at heart? Are you a bit weary, if truth be told? Well, here's what I would say to you. Ask yourself, why are you tired? Why? Try to diagnose the problem before you apply the remedy. What are some of the reasons that people can become a little bit weary? Well, certainly what I'm going to say is not going to be, you know, the complete answer. But let me mention a few things. One very obvious one. Maybe it's because you're overworked. A person may be weary simply because they have overworked. Now, the Bible example that I often think about in this respect is Elijah. Do you remember the story of Elijah? We'll not go into all the details, but do you remember after the great high of Mount Carmel? Do you remember after all of that, that Elijah actually became a bit depressed? Yes, Christians can become depressed. Please don't subscribe to the very foolish idea of saying to people, pull yourself together. People can become depressed. Christians can become depressed. The great Elijah was depressed. And without going into the whole story, one of the things that he needed was sleep and some good food and a time out. Now, that might sound terribly unspiritual, but that's what you read in the Old Testament. And the Lord provided a situation where Elijah would just go and sleep and rest and have some food. And it was a tonic to his soul. So maybe what you need to do here tonight is not so much to throw in the towel or to continue in a joyless manner. That's not actually going to be of great help to anyone in the long term. But maybe you just need a rest. Maybe you need to take a holiday. That's why some people in ministry take sabbaticals. Not just to go away and have a great time for a month, but to just take time out. I remember reading about a Christian minister who was driving with someone along. I've never been there. Some of you may have driven between San Francisco and Los Angeles. And along that coast road, and apparently I'm told the views are amazing, but it can be a bit of an unnerving experience. And that's what this man found. High up, cliffs, bends, all that kind of thing. The rugged cliffs and the winding road and the unfamiliar driving position gave rise for him to feelings at time of fear and even panic. But here's the thing that he said. He said that at regular intervals, there were what he calls, I don't know this is what the Americans call them, but he called them turnout bays. Places where you could turn off the winding road and just get some rest and some peace. And he was very glad in the midst of the twisting road and the feelings of panic and fear for those little places where he could turn aside and just catch his breath, as it were. And you know, when I think about that, in the Christian life, in life itself, it may be that some of you, maybe many of us, maybe everyone here, if you don't do this, maybe you need some turnout bays just to refresh your soul. What do you mean? You say, well, it could be any number of things. It could just be as simple as going for a walk in the park or up at the Silent Valley, or just going and having a cup of coffee with a trusted friend, or maybe going and swimming in the pool if you're into that, or taking a weekend away or a few days away, pursuing a hobby, carving out time to be with God, rather than rushing your quiet time and grabbing a few minutes here and there, actually carving out time just to be still in his presence. Praying that God would renew your own quiet time, and that rather than just reading a verse here and a verse there and then you're into the midst of what's going on, just to be still and to pray that God would really speak to you and refresh your soul through his word. Little places of a refreshment. Maybe we're not building enough turnout bays into our lives, and so you're just overworked. And you can't actually keep it at that. It's going to take its toll eventually. That's the problem here. Another cause of weariness is what I'm calling carnal Christian living. What do I mean? Well, I mean the kind of thing that we see, for example, in Peter when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember when the people were coming to arrest Jesus, and Peter decided to take the whole thing into his own hands and pulls out the sword, and it all went downhill from there. And Peter was not in a good place. You see, he was trying to stand up for his Lord and do something for the Lord in a carnal way, and it just didn't work. And you know, trying to do the Lord's work in our own strength will not work either. If you try to do this over a long period of time, you do actually, and I say this sincerely, you do run a real risk of becoming spiritually exhausted or even spiritually depressed or both. Let me put it another way. If your spiritual fuel tank is almost empty and you're going to run out of juice some of these days, and that's going to be a problem. Because you cannot actually sustain genuine, sincere Christian service if you're almost out of spiritual juice. Something is going to give. Maybe worse, you're going to give. And you may end up having other problems. I wonder, is that a picture of someone here? And you need to step back. You need to be renewed and filled with the Spirit. Another cause of weariness is doing Christian service for the wrong reasons. So here's a Christian who has become weary in well-doing. And the question that maybe needs to be asked here is, well, why are you doing this? What is your motive? Why are you involved in this work? It's a good work, but why are you doing it? Well, maybe you're doing it because somebody asked you to do it, and that's fair enough. But that will actually not sustain you. Maybe you're doing it because you're the type that has to be doing something. And again, that's fair enough. But that will not be sufficient. Maybe you're doing it to sort of have your own little fiefdom. That's maybe not the right word. Maybe you're doing it because you think that no one else could do it as good as you. Folks, I'm sharing things here that from experience I have seen. I've seen all of these things, as I'm sure most pastors and ministers have. My point is this, that people sometimes do things for all kinds of motivations. And it's really, really important to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Is it because of me? Is it something to do with me? Or is it for the Lord? Is it out of a heart for the Lord? That's the greatest motive. That's the motive that will sustain you, actually, in the long run. One other little one I'll mention here. Time is pressing on. False activity. I think here of situations where people have served spiritually, but they've actually lived on their own activity, if I could put it that way. They've kept a thing going, but it was all in the strength of their activity, their strength, their force, if you like. And then whenever they either got a little bit ill or got a little bit older, they could no longer sustain what they were doing, and actually they ended up physically unwell or spiritually depressed. They didn't know, if you like, what to do with themselves because they had been living on their own activity. And again, if I can quote Lloyd Jones refers to this and actually says, and I'll not go into the details, he says, and I quote, "Some of the greatest tragedies I have seen have been in such men." He was thinking of specific situations of people who drove themselves and they carried something along for a period of years, even years. But it was all about them and it was all about what they would do. And then actually something gave and the whole thing collapsed around them and there was a whole problem. False activity. And in the church, we can be mighty active at times. Let's make sure it's not a false activism. But let me come to my last point. You've all been waiting for the remedy for weariness. Well, let me say a few things and then finish. I wonder, what if a church becomes weary? What happens then? Well, then the leaders have to recognize that and prayerfully step up to review and diagnose and prescribe. And elders, I would say to you tonight, think about that. Prayerfully think about that. That's something that you as elders of this church, I would say this to elders of any church, that's something that we may not always think about, but we need to be always looking out for that kind of thing. How are things going? Let's review. Let's diagnose. Let's prescribe. So that a local church does not become weary in well-doing. But let me just, as I focus this, try to focus on a remedy for individuals. And I want to just draw your attention to a couple of wee clues, I think, that are in this text. Let us not become weary in doing good. When Christians become tired and weary, they lose a perspective of the bigger picture. Rather than thinking, if you like, here we go again, the same old thing week after week. It's, I'm called to do good. I'm called in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in light of the one who came and lived and died and rose again. I'm called to follow his footsteps and to do good and to proclaim Christ and to live as a believer. That's the big picture, folks. And sometimes we lose the perspective and we can't actually see the wood for the trees. And we just say, oh, we're going through this again and again. And we lose the picture of what it's all about and the wonder of it all. And think about it this way. Ask yourself this question. How have you come to be in a place where you would seek to do good and serve the Lord in and through his church? Is it your natural desire? No, it's not. Is it because you're a great person and you want to do good every day? No, it's not. Although I'm sure you're a decent buddy after all. But the truth of the matter is, it's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that comes into our hearts and changes us and turns us around. It's in light of his life, his death, His resurrection. It's in light of the one who we were thinking about today at the funeral, the one who is precious. And when he is precious to us, then all of this comes into its proper place. And we will not so easily become weary in doing good because we are following in his footsteps. And we have been touched by that. The remedy for weariness is always going back to the gospel. Because in the gospel, and in what I would call a fresh Holy Spirit-induced experience of that gospel, and the subsequent renewal and power that comes from that, that's why we need to get back to the Word of God. That's why we need to wait upon the Lord. And I'm talking more than just a couple of minutes grabbed in the midst of life. That if I can pick up on the picture this morning, that our staff, like Aaron's staff in Numbers 17, may bud and blossom and bring forth fruit. So the remedy, if you're feeling really tired tonight, apart from you maybe need to go and have a sleep, you maybe need to go and have a holiday, whatever, but don't give up. Come back from your break and say, right, by the grace of God, we press on here, and ask the Lord to touch your heart afresh and to revive you and to renew you in the gospel. What was it the old preacher Chalmers preached, the famous sermon that I have mentioned many times, the expulsive power of a new affection. And whenever we have a new affection and love for our Lord, that will become a power in your soul. And the last thing I'll say, time has gone. Where has the last while gone? What, did I start this sermon with the message of a long preacher? Sorry about that. I actually wasn't that preacher. So I hope you haven't become too weary. I am about to finish. And the last thing I would just remind you of is that this text speaks of reaping a harvest. And that one understanding and one way to really understand what that's talking about, it's speaking of the final harvest, eternity. And that was why I chose that we sing that hymn tonight that we haven't actually sang for a long time, Work for the Night is Coming. It just reminds us that eternity is coming. And there's a day coming when all the work will be over in this world. So don't be giving up. Work, because the night's coming. Don't work yourself into the ground. That's going against all that we've been saying. But don't go off on the other end as well and say, well, I'm giving up here. Keep pressing on. So tonight, if you're a little bit weary in doing good, I trust and pray that this text and what has been said will encourage your heart and touch your spirit. So let us pray. Father, we pray tonight that you would come and just touch us afresh. Lord, that if we're tired and weary, that we will do whatever practical things that we need to build other things into our lives. But ultimately, Lord, we know that the renewal and the revival will come from you. And Lord, we pray that you would put us in a place where we would really be open to that and be touched afresh by your Holy Spirit and by the gospel and by your living word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to conclude our service by singing this lovely hymn. It's another setting of an older hymn, Rise Up, O Church of God, have done with lesser things. We stand as we sing.